Glory to God. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, text that claims our attention of this sanctuary service. Really good to see each of you out today. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to pick up the reading there at verse number 12. Good to see you, Nate, this morning. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, the little Lord reads on this wise, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Here it is, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen.
Amen.
May you see. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, getting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm still connecting to the community here. We're being blessed from the inside out, getting ready to go out, part 6. I want to talk to us today from this subject, my expression of thanks.
All right.
My expression of thanks. Every now and then people will say thank you. They'll do things. $20, Sister Harris, was an expression of thanks. Some people will bake you a cake as an expression of thanks.
Amen.
Paul in the text today says to us that I have a different kind of expression of thanks. In the season of Thanksgiving, you've got to learn how to give thanks.
Amen.
Many folk will be in the midst of circles where everybody else is giving and they don't necessarily have anything to give. But there are something that they can give, and that's what you've got to learn to do. You've got to learn how to give thanks.
Amen.
Yes, there's the text really pulls me because it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, this chapter 3 of the book of Philippians. It says a whole lot there, but realistically what Paul is trying to say to us, that there has to be a place from which you grow from where you are to where God is calling you to be.
Hallelujah.
Too many of us are trying to stay in the same place, and that's stagnation.
Jesus.
And you cannot live like that. Every time I go to the doctor, before I get to see the doctor, they come and call for me to come, and I go in and they stop me by the scale. I got to get on the scale and get weighed.
Yes.
When those of you who have children, and you, when you took your children to the doctor, every time you took them to the doctor, they weigh them and they measure them to see if they had grown.
Come on, kid.
There had to be some period of growth, because if there has been no growth, no weight gain, no inches increased, then something possibly is wrong. So we got to measure the growth. And before you can see the doctor, there has to be some measurement that takes place. Can I tell us today, before you can see God, there is some measuring that takes place, because it is a sign of your growth.
Yes.
Every time you come across the threshold of the sanctuary, the Lord wants to see if you've grown since the last time you were here.
I know.
It is
It is the expectation of God that you would grow in your walk with him. It is his expectation that your growth would become deeper and deeper as you grow in God. It's his expectation that your knowledge might increase, your understanding might become clear. Every time you come in, you should come in stronger than last time. Yeah. That was the problem in the book of Hebrews. The writer was trying to address some confusion or some things that were going on. Because he said that your biggest problem is that you are at the same place with God today that you were when I first met you. That's where you are. I can't teach you the deep things of God because y'all haven't grown. Because by now, your faith should be strong. By now, your understanding of the Lord should be greater. By now, your witness to the world ought to be evident. By now, you ought to know more than Jesus wept. By now, you ought to be able to handle some stuff better. You should be farther along by now. And it's a shame that you're not, because you're at the same place that you were the last time. That is the message of Jesus when he comes upon the disciples and they have been fishing all night long. And he said, do you have any meat? They said, no, we don't have none. He says, launch out into the deep. You got to launch into the deep because your problem is that you're still fishing in shallow waters. And you wouldn't caught everything in the shallow waters. Yeah, yeah. And in the next season of your life that God is going to bless you, you got to step over into some deep places with God. Y'all remember, you remember Jesus feeding the multitude not once but twice. First, the 5,000, we talked about it last week. And then a little later, he feeds 4,000. And Jesus is upset because the same disciples that saw him bless the 5,000, when he blesses the 4,000, still asking the question about how did he do it? They're still, Jesus is saying, how can you have been with me this long? How can you have seen me do it in the past and still have questions about what I'm doing right now? By now, you shouldn't be asking questions because you've grown so much now with God. You understand better today. Yeah. I ain't saying you can't ask no questions, but you shouldn't be asking the same. So as I come to measure you at the door of the sanctuary, are you growing? I know it's Sunday and y'all, we all in the sanctuary, and I know y'all want to lie and say yes. But are you growing? Or are you just going through the motions of church? I want to ask that question. How do you know, Reverend, if you're growing? How do we measure growth? How do we measure the Holy Spirit working in our life? Well, there's a book that puts Christians and Christianity growth into about four categories. He said there are those who are exploring Christ. They're the ones trying to figure out if this is for them, trying to figure out what's going on and what it all means. And then there's this group called the growing in Christ. You know, they got their Bible, they got a cross, got a little oil. They saved, but not fully delivered. They're vacillating between the world and the kingdom. And then you have this group called close to Christ. They are fully committed to Jesus Christ. They pray daily. They read their Bible. And every now and then, they worship regularly and they serve in ministry. They are close. You got exploring Christ. You got those who are growing in Christ. And you got those that are close to Christ. But then there are those that he calls those that are centered in Christ. All right. These are the folks who are so sold out for Jesus, they don't want to do anything in their life that the Lord did not bless. They don't want to pray. They pray about every decision. They won't wear an outfit on Monday that God didn't sanctify on Sunday. Yeah, everything revolves around their obedience to the will of God. I don't know which category do you fall in. The writer doesn't suggest that there is a problem with any category. It's all right for you to be exploring. It's all right for you to be growing. It's all right for you to be close to Christ. It's all right for you to be centered. But your goal in life should be that you want to get from where you are to being farther down the road. Everybody should have some kind of plan to get us there. We should be in a press. We should be pressing in our walk with God. And that's what Paul is saying to the church of Philippi. He said, I can't stay where I am in the Lord. I have to press my way into the next level of relationship with God. And Paul offers two obstacles that will keep you from growing in God. Because folks get comfortable, and when you get comfortable, it keeps you from pressing. Some of us are not pressing. We're good enough to be pushing. We'll push for a little while, but every now and then something push back at us and then we quit.
All right.
But he said there are two things that will keep you where you are. And his first thing is past progress. If you become complacent with how far you've come, then you no longer are concerned with where you have to go. I would contend that folk who use these verses 12 to 14, they use them out of context sometimes, because they be talking about forgetting those things which are behind. They are referring to some stuff that they've done. They're referring to some mistakes that they have made. They want to forget about those things. And you need to forget about stuff in your past, any sinful behavior. But don't allow the devil to send someone in your life with the gift of memory to remind you what you used to do. Leave it in the past. When Paul says it here in the text, he's not talking about some messed up past. He's not talking about some mistakes that he's made. It's the exact opposite. The past he's talking about is a glorious past with accolades and trophies. Look at it. I go back to verse number 5. It's in your Bible. He says, I'm circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Yeah, he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yeah, Paul says, I have to put my past progress behind me. Because you can become satisfied with how far you've come that you fail to see how far you have yet to go. Folks in here, you got folks that will testify how the Lord done brought me from a mighty long way. You'll talk about how I don't do what I used to do. I don't go where I used to go. I don't hang out with the folks that I used to hang out with. And I bless God. Hallelujah. Praise God that you don't do that no more. You don't go there no more. We bless God with you. But you haven't crossed the finish line yet, y'all. There's still yet work to do. You got to keep on going. How long are you going to keep bragging about the fact that you don't go where you used to go? You can't go because it's closed. Talking about I don't do what I used to do. You got arthritis, you can't do it. Yeah. I don't hang out with folks that I used to hang out with. That's called they gone. The problem with those who are content with past progress, they feel that they can judge others who haven't reached the level they have. failing to realize that the Lord has another assignment for you.
Yes.
He's got some more growing for you. Mm-hmm. There's some more work he got to do on you. But you want to stand there and criticize somebody else. Don't let your past hinder your progress. You got to press past your past. Come on. I got to move quickly. The other thing, here it is, that Paul says will keep you from growing. He says it's your religious resume. Paul is boasting about his credentials, and he realizes that you can think that because you are religious, you are growing in God. But there are some folks that are religious that have no Jesus at all.
That's right.
Ain't no Holy Ghost up in there.
Right.
At church every Sunday.
Yes.
And you can be as mean and nasty as they want to be. Being religious does not mean you're growing. You can't measure your growth in Christ by church criteria. Let me put it like that. You can't measure your growth because folks think that how you act in the sanctuary and how many ministries you are committed to is a sign that you're growing in God. Realistically, that's spiritual immaturity. It's a spiritually immature person when they come to church and get disgusted because they don't find what they don't bring. Glory to the Lamb of God. They get mad because they don't see the stuff that they didn't bring themselves. It's an immature person to expect that the church collectively can be more than the sum of its parts. So you expect the people to exemplify a level of maturity that you don't have. Yeah, you want to talk about folks are hypocrites in the church. You a hypocrite in the church. Talk about folk don't speak. You don't speak to folk. And if you're not growing in the Lord, how can you expect the church to have a level of maturity that you don't have or bring yourself? When you show up in the church, you're supposed to be practicing what you've been working on all week long. When you get here on Sunday, you ought to come to perform. You hear what I said? Don't take it the wrong way. You ought to be practicing at home what you go getting ready to perform when you get to church on Sunday morning. That's why, Sister Sandra, some folk don't want to shout when they get to church because they don't shout at home. They won't say amen in church because they ain't saying amen at home. They won't praise the Lord in the church. They don't give him no praise at home. Can I tell you that when you get to church, that you ought to come here to perform what you've been practicing all week long? Yeah, that's what needs to happen. Because that should have been going on at home. I ain't trying to say nothing I'm saying, but if you ain't getting it in here, it ain't happening at home. But there are some folk, glory to God, they wake up every morning and will bless God. They will show up, give him some praise. They will bless him all day long. And when they get to church, they don't have to be prompt or prodded. They don't need a choir. They don't need no musicians. They just go in, throw up both hands and say, God, I love you. Throw up both hands and say, hallelujah. Bless the wonderful name of Jesus, because they come to practice what they, to perform what they've been practicing all the week long. So you got, he says, you got to press beyond your past progress. Don't get caught up in your religious resume. So, Reverend, how do I measure my progress? How do I express my thanks? Well, a few things God weighs when you come to church before you see the doctor is your sacrifice for Christ. Sacrifice. There has to be some sacrifice, and that's a cuss word for some people because we don't want to put down anything. We want to hold on to everything. Some stuff we got to let go. Some people we've got to let go. go. There has to be some sacrifices that go on. And so many of y'all, you know how to tell everybody else no, but you can't tell yourself no.
Jesus,
help us, Jesus. You got to learn how to say no to yourself, no to your flesh, no to the things that you want that you know are not pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. You've got to learn to tell yourself no. Sacrifice for Christ. But then you need to learn how to share Christ.
Yes.
It's about the sharing of Christ. And you many people have a difficult time, they claim, being able to testify, to be able to talk about Jesus for themselves. And every now and then, all you got to do is say the name. Because when I say the name of Jesus, if something happens to me on the inside, Jesus begins to show me some stuff that I couldn't have seen without him. Every now and then, if you just call on the name of Jesus, he'll bring back to your remembrance some stuff that only he could do. Only he could make the way. He will be able to do that. And that's how you begin to share Christ. You begin to tell them how much you love God. You tell them you love him because of what he's done for you. You tell him how you were sick and he made you well. You tell him the doctor couldn't do it, but he did it. You tell him you tried everything. And when I went to Jesus, he fixed it for me. You got to learn how to share Christ with everybody that you run into. Learn how to share it a bit. But then, sacrifice for Christ. You got to learn, share Christ. And then you have to learn how to show the love of Christ. I'm talking about your measurements. I'm talking about your thanks that you're giving to God. Look at it. When you sacrifice yourself for Christ, what you're saying is, God, I thank you for your son Jesus who sacrificed for me, and now I gotta sacrifice for him. That's my thanksgiving. I gotta share about this man that came through 40 and two generations to save a wretch like me. I gotta share that. I need to show the love of Christ. Now, every now and then, I know you want to show some folks something else. Some of y'all want to show them your behind. But I come to tell you that we've got to learn to show the love of Christ. Yes, because that says that I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. When you are able to show the love of Christ to the folk that are unlovable and unlovely, you're saying, God, I thank you for looking down on me. Thank you for washing me clean. Thank you for lifting me up. Thank you for bringing me from a long, long way. That's all you're doing, is telling the Lord thank you. When you share his love, because he's given it to you.
Yeah.
That's how you thank him. He gave you his love. Give it to somebody else. Glory to God. Because Jesus, it was Jesus. Jesus said, they will know these folk. They will know you by your love. Told the disciples, they're going to know you are my disciples by your love. Somebody had to ask me up there. Yesterday, he was saying somebody wasn't acting Christian, and you all upset. Ain't no point in getting upset. You need to continue to show them Christ, and you can't get twisted and critical about them. Because it was just a minute ago that was you. It was just a minute ago that they were saying the same thing about you. So all you got to do is learn to show Christ. Learn to show the love of Christ and not worry about anybody else. I'm trying to tell you how you can show the Lord thanks. You can show him thanks by studying the life of Christ. You ought to get in that Bible. You need to get in that word and study to show yourself approved. Yeah, you need to let the Lord work on the inside of you while you're in his word. Show himself to you through his word. I'm through because I got to go out of here. He says the other thing is that you got to spend some silent time with Christ. You got to spend some prayer time with the Lord. And ain't nobody in here could hurt, help be hurt by spending just a little more time in prayer. Can I tell you today that your prayer time, your time in prayer with the Lord is the only thing that assures God that you know him and he knows you. That you are trusting him with the thing that you need most. Now, some of y'all only pray when you need something. You only pray when you get in trouble. You only pray when you get hurt. But you got to learn to have a regular prayer time. Your regular prayer times tells the Lord, I thank you. You're thanking God when you're praying to him. And he receives it as thanksgiving because he feels now that you really know who he is and what he's able to do. God, I thank you in this place. Come on, press past your progress. Go beyond your past progress. And don't get caught up in your religious resume. You know how it is. Sometimes they read a bio, and the bio is about 4 pages long. And you're trying to figure out who that person really is. Because you ain't seen none of that nowhere. You got to get past the resume. Stop acting religious and be righteous.
Amen.
Glory Amen. To the Lamb of God. There is Jesus. He sacrificed his own self. He came and got on a tree. He might as well jump there. Up there himself. Yeah, they put nails in his hands and feet, and he hung on the cross. And there he was sharing himself for the entire world because he was dying for the sin of the whole world. That's how much he loved you. When his arms got stretched wide, that you could see him still hanging there just for you. Yeah. And they talk about hanging from the 6th to the 9th hour. We got a Bible to study. But it was the centurion soldier who was studying the body as he was hanging on that cross. When they pierced him in the side, blood and water came streaming down. And the centurion soldier, as he was reading, hollered out, "Surely, surely this must be Son of God." See, when you read the word, it becomes real to you on the inside. He began to holler out while he's praying on the cross for you and for me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He is in prayer still on your behalf. You say, "Well, Reverend, he died. But he got up, y'all.
Yes, he did.
The Father raised him up.
Yes.
The third day morning.
Yes.
With all power in heaven and earth in his hand. But he is at the right hand of the Father.
Yes.
Making intercession for you.
Mm-hmm.
He's up there saying, "I died for that.
Yes.
I know they messed up, but I died for that. I know they lying, but I died for that. I know they steal, but I died for that. I know they hate, but I died for that. I know they mistreat folk, but I died for that." He's alive forevermore to make intercession on your behalf. Why don't you tell him thank you?
Thank you.
Your expression of thanks ought to be a life lived for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.